Looking for health info? This is Health U's House Call, part of Hackensack Meridian Health's podcast. We're here to provide you with the tools and resources to make informed decisions about your health. Here, our expert providers will provide you with wellness tips, information, and general health advice. This is House Call. Growing your family is one of the greatest gifts that life has to offer, but growing your family can also bring some worries. How will this impact your firstborn or the dynamic of your current crew? Are they going to be jealous of the new baby? What does this mean for all of our existing relationships? In today's episode, Child and Adolescent Fellowship Program Director and Practicing Child and Adolescent Psychiatrist, Dr. Lauren Koschka-Weiss, is joining us to dive into the exciting yet sometimes challenging journey of introducing a new baby to older siblings. Thanks so much for being here, Doctor. I'm excited to talk about this with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about it too and kind of share my own personal experiences with my own kids.
Awesome. I love that. So if you don't mind sharing, let's talk a little bit, I guess, about what you do at HMH, and then I'd love to segue into like your own family life, because I know you said you don't mind sharing kind of like those personal stories.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run the Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Fellowship Program through Jersey Shore University Medical Center. We currently have 8 fellows, and what that means is these are psychiatrists who are doing an additional 2 years of training, learning to become child and adolescent psychiatrists. And then I have my own patients that I see outpatient in the ambulatory setting that are anywhere from 0 up until kind of mid-college age or whenever they decide they're done seeing a child psychiatrist.
So you must see like such a range of different needs and I guess like issues, right?
Everything.
Is there anything that's like the most common that you tend to see?
Oh, it's tough to say because really it is so varied. I'm trying to think if there's one thing that sticks out, and there really isn't. It is really just kind of anything that kind of walks in the door. Behavioral issues, mood and anxiety issues, kids with developmental disabilities like autism. Some of the younger kids that we work with have behavioral issues. So really, it's very varied.
The whole gamut.
The whole deal.
I'm sure that has to help in being a parent, right? Having all this knowledge of... No.
Let me tell you, you would think. So I talk about this with my husband all the time. He's like, Lauren, you should be the expert. He's like, I also trained in pediatrics as in addition to child psychiatry. He's like, why is this not translating at home?
Why aren't you a pro?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I know all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, but implementing it with your own kids is hard, right?
Right.
You know, you're their safe space. You know, you're their home base, and they will push and test you a lot more than they will others that they meet with. So, for example, you know, the reports that we get from our kids' teachers are like, they're a role model, they're an angel, they are so respectful. And my husband and I look at each other and go like, no, what?
You're like, I don't see
are
this.
You talking about my kid? you know, because when they come home, they throw their socks and shoes on the floor. Or this morning I was asking my youngest to get ready and he's like, ugh. I'm like, sorry, you can't watch TV get ready for school.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. And so it's hard when it's your own kids because they are their safe space. And so they are going to challenge you and push the boundaries more because they know that you are always there and that there is that unconditional love and support.
Yeah, we all need that, a place to kind of like unleash our trueness.
Exactly, you know? Right? They hold it together all day.
Being polite and being respectful, and they come home, they're like, I just want to throw my socks on the floor. Can I do it?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I love that you have this balance of the clinical knowledge, also being an active and practicing doctor with kids, and then having kids of your own. So you have just like such a wealth of knowledge that we are going to dig into today. So... as I mentioned, today is about building strong sibling relationships and how you can introduce a new baby to your family, whether it's you're going from 1 to 2 or 2 to 3, however it may be. It's such a pivotal time because you get into a groove and you're like, okay, I've got this figured out. So I have a 3-year-old right now. I'm expecting in July. And so it's kind of going to be like, well, we finally figured her out. Now what are we going to do when we throw another one into the mix? And like, how do you still make time for your existing kids and make sure they know and feel supported? But like, it's just a whole, whole thing to swallow, you know? So I guess, what are some common, I guess, like, reactions that you've seen older siblings have to, like, new baby?
I think one of the most common things that we'll often see is concerns for regression. And what that means is kind of developmentally falling back a little bit. And so, you know, my kids are exactly 23 months apart. And so when my youngest was born, my oldest, you know, would try to crawl into his bassinet. He would take his pacifiers, even though they were not the ones that my oldest liked. You know, so, and that's really, really common and normal. And so that's to kind of be expected, right? Because you're seeing kind of the care that the parents are giving to the younger one. And so the little one or the oldest is, I kind of want to, you know, be back in that too.
Yeah. I think that's also really hard with how close yours are. Like, not even two yet. Like, two's still kind of a baby.
Yeah. Buying two different sizes of diapers for a while was really a lot. It just making sure I had all of the things that I needed. So one of the things that we did with my oldest was to really try to make him feel a part of the process and to feel special and important. So when I was in the hospital in labor with his younger brother, he had a scrub set that said Big Brother.
That's so cute.
And a special snack container. I brought my laptop, and he was very into the Minions at the time. So, you know, he actually sat in the bed with me, watched the Minions. So we still had kind of some of that one-on-one time, mm-hmm. even in that setting while I was, you know, before I got into active labor. And so that's one of the things that's recommended is continuing to set aside time on an individual basis, you know, whoever is the caregiver in the home. So if it's, you know, you and a partner, making sure that both of you set aside, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, even 5 minutes is great, of just kind of that one-on-one individual, sort of what we call child-led playtime.
Yeah, like uninterrupted. You're not just like watching a movie with them, like actually just playing with them and seeing what they want to do.
Exactly. Something that they can engage with. And so we often recommend using Legos or coloring or building blocks, something that is interactive.
Yeah, that's great. So that's kind of like once baby comes, do you mm-hmm. think that there's like prep you can do in advance, like before baby comes, like talking about it or reading books or like what's the best thing we can do so that they kind of like feel prepared for this big shift?
Oh, absolutely. So there's a couple different ways to look at this and it varies depending on the situation. So if you are, because everybody experiences pregnancy differently, right? Some people have, you know, no morning sickness or symptoms at all. Some people, you know, show right away. Some people don't show until kind of, you know, late third trimester. So it's really kind of figuring out where you are in the pregnancy and where you kind of are as a family as to how you would want to start these conversations. For example, if, you know, you weren't feeling well, it might be worthwhile to say, hey, you know, mom's having a rough time right now. She's not feeling that well. This is why we're kind of growing, you know, a sibling. And so I really, it makes me sad that I'm not able to spend as much time with you right now. You know, I'm wondering if that makes you sad that we can't spend as much time together right now. So even kind of starting those conversations early so that they can kind of understand that, you know, the reason why there might be kind of an adjustment there. It is recommended that once you start showing, and there's obviously a physical change that they're able to notice, that you start to kind of bring that up and bring it up in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm, you know, we're excited to, you know, add a friend to the family. We're excited, you know, to grow our family and create new adventures together. But also kind of setting expectations and managing expectations a little bit. Once baby comes, you know, we might need to spend a little bit of extra time feeding or changing. And depending on the age of the other child, figuring out how much they can get involved with some of mm-hmm. those things and feel like they have some ownership in it.
Yeah, and I'm sure those conversations are going to vary based on how old your existing children exactly. or child is. Like, two-year-olds maybe not really going to be able to understand, like, you can help me change the baby because, like, you're still a baby.
yes.
Yeah. And that's, what you were talking about, like the not feeling well, is something I experienced. And it was, I honestly think it happened all for a reason. Like, I was so sick for so long, but it really forced my daughter and my husband to like spend so much mm-hmm. more one-on-one time that they never had, because I was always the one she wanted right. to go to and do everything. And now she's totally a daddy's girl. And I'm like, go for it, girl. We yeah. need this. We need this for all of us. But that's great. Okay, so having those conversations, kind of like just getting them mentally prepared. When I feel like I've seen some of this on Instagram and stuff, and it's probably just, you know, my curated feed for me. But like talking about like that actual first introduction of the baby, I've seen people saying like, don't be holding the baby, like put the baby in a bassinet so it's like neutral ground. Like, do you think that that has any validity?
Possibly. Again, it's going to depend on the individual kid. I mean, I've seen some kids who just are really excited regardless of where the baby physically is. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some kids who are kind of just apprehensive and, yeah. you know, are kind of slow to warm up. And I think it's going to depend on the older child's temperament and kind of how they adjust to kind of novel situations. And, you know, so you're just going to kind of have to just kind of pay attention to your child's cues and in a sense follow their lead. You know, if they are seeming a little bit apprehensive, not forcing it, not, you know, being like, oh, well, let's have you hold the baby, mm-hmm. you know, but just kind of
follow their lead.
Yeah, meeting them where they're at with it.
So kind of being weary of like, you know, watching them and their signs and their cues. Is there anything we should look for to be like red flags? And I'll give an example. It's I know like cute aggression is like a thing, like babies, like toddlers, little ones can be like, they're just so cute, and you want to like poke mm-hmm. they want to like poke the baby's eyes out, like what are other things like that that like we should be like, wait a second, we need to be careful?
Yeah, so I think again it's all about kind of setting expectations and explaining it on a developmental level that they'll understand. You know, they're not going to understand the word fragile, but maybe mm-hmm. easily breakable or easily gets bobos or however you want to, you know, explain it in that context, whatever, you know, your child understands as somebody, you know, kind of feeling hurt and things like that. So that you could say, you know, we need to have gentle hands with baby, because baby is, you know, very easily gets, you know, things that need Band-Aids or whatever it mm-hmm. it may be, the language that you use. But like I said, you want to kind of just pay attention to their signs. And if they are really just kind of not feeling it, that is, you know, to kind of prevent it from maybe getting to a red flag area, just letting it be for them. And, you know, and just kind of talking to them about their feelings about it, again, in a developmentally appropriate way, and really utilizing that one-on-one time to maybe have some of those conversations while you're playing.
Yeah.
To make it kind of more of a neutral type of situation for them.
You got me thinking about a couple of things. One, how did your son do with the introduction
yeah.
of your newer son?
So my oldest is a slow to warm up kid, mm-hmm. for sure. He was very apprehensive. He was kind of – I actually have a picture of the four of us sitting on the couch in the hospital after my youngest was born. And my oldest's body language is like physically turned away.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of really apprehensive. He's like, what is this thing? I'm not really into it. And, you know, we try to kind of continue to be positive about it and say, this is a new, you know, best friend. This is, you know, somebody you're going to have all these fun adventures with and things like that. And he just was not feeling it.
Yeah. How long did it take for him to kind of warm up?
Once my youngest was a little bit more animated.
I think that's the other thing that, like, kids don't realize is, like, a newborn baby is not going to be exciting for you.
No, they're not.
You know, they're not going to be smiling. They're not going to be interacting. They're just kind of sleeping and eating and
yeah, pooping. And my youngest, I always call my oldest the trick baby, because he would sleep anywhere. He ate fine. There was just kind of no issues. My youngest hated the Mamaroo. Hated the baby backpack carrier, hated the wrap. Like, unless
interesting. I feel like most babies like to be close like that.
He hated all of it. He wanted to be on my chest, sitting on a couch, and that was it. That's the only way he wanted to sleep.
So he was picky about his closeness.
He was.
He was like, no, you're not going to put me in something.
Right. Where my oldest was much easier. So Mamaroo, not a problem. Swing, not a problem. Like, just really kind of easygoing in that sense. So I think that was also difficult because he, I had to be sitting a lot of time with an infant on me. And so I would invite him over to come sit with us and would try to give him as much attention as I could while the baby was sleeping on me and try to really kind of give him that undivided attention, even though, you know, my youngest was still there, but I was trying to just really focus the attention on the oldest. I actually have some great videos of when my youngest was a couple months older, and we could put him in the bouncy, I forget what they're called.
But like a little jumper.
The little jumpers, yeah. Exactly. And Liam, we have some kind of really low mid-century chairs, and my oldest thought it was the funniest thing to kind of jump/fall off these chairs, and Julian would just crack up.
And that's the sweetest thing.
It was amazing to watch. Like, he recognized that he had a positive impact on his younger sibling and just thought it was the greatest thing ever.
That's so cute. Makes it worth it, right? When you're – some days I'm sure you're probably like, what have we done?
Oh, I love watching that video over and over.
That kind of moment. That's just, like, so sweet.
Exactly.
So you made me think of something else that was, again – talk, like, is there specific language we should use when we're talking about, like, dedicating time and needs to the baby? Because I feel like, again, it's something else I've seen where it's like you don't want to blame saying, like, oh, the baby needs me right now, or the baby needs me to feed them right now. Like, how does that have an impact on, like, how we deliver it?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Because then I feel like it can build, like, well, this is the baby's fault. You know, if the baby wasn't here, you'd be hanging with me, you know?
True. One of the things that I think you could say is that this is baby's time right now. Mommy wants to have time with you once this is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of follow through with that process.
Yeah, I guess just like expectation setting. Like, 15 minutes, we're going to go play.
Yeah.
Like, just give me those couple minutes.
Yeah. And that's kind of when, you know, you talk about while you're still pregnant, before baby gets here, really kind of trying to set and manage those expectations as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all bets are off once baby gets here.
Yeah.
But really trying to say, like, yes, like, sometimes mommy is going to need to kind of spend more time doing this. Mommy still wants to make sure that she spends enough time with you. What are some things that you would like to do with mommy? Getting out of the house was important for me and my oldest.
Just you two?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I clearly love Starbucks. That's my happy place.
Oh, yeah.
My
daughter, she shouldn't know, but she was like, let's go Starbucks. I'm like, you're free.
I mean, if this makes you feel any better, my youngest, so he would drink my coffee, and I was on a white chocolate mocha kick for a while. And so he liked it. So I was like, why don't I get you the one without the caffeine? Like, I'll get you, you know, like the white hot chocolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the age of 2, he knew if it was made wrong.
Oh, he became one of those guys.
He did.
He's going up to the counter. He's like, excuse me, you didn't froth my foam.
No, he knew. Because a lot of times they would accidentally make it as just like a regular hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, this doesn't taste right.
Oh, that's so funny. Create a little diva.
Yeah,
but they become like obsessed with it.
I know. My husband's like, what are you doing to our kids?
You've done
like,
this.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, this is your fault.
Your creation. Like, yeah. Started them early.
Like, it could be worse.
Yeah. It could be worse.
Could be worse.
That's for sure.
But yeah, so I would take him and we would go sit and he would get to pick out. At the time, he was on a banana bread kick. He'd pick out a banana bread or an apple juice box or sometimes a milk box. And we would just kind of sit and hang out and talk. And so I think that time that we had together was really meaningful because that we were at, you know, we were in a neutral place, a place that he kind of enjoyed going. It wasn't in the home where there was a possibility that my attention could be diverted.
Yeah, no other distractions.
Exactly.
You're not like, oh, I got to undo the laundry now or something like that.
Exactly.
And that's also probably super nice for you, just like get a little break.
Oh, yeah.
From having 2 to just being like, okay, we can just go and hang out.
Yeah. And the one that can walk on his own and,
help himself a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm also thinking about, you know, if you have either a child who's in like daycare or preschool, and you're worried about germs and stuff. Mm. Like, how do we talk about that to say, like, you know, don't lick the baby. Like, don't, you know, things like that. Like, how do you start those conversations? Exactly. I mean, obviously you don't want them to do it to anyone, but especially a newborn who doesn't have immunity.
So one of the things, I was going to say exactly like that, but that's not true. You know, because a lot of times when you say to kids, well, like, don't do this or don't do that.
That's what they want to do?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, okay. Yeah. You just told them to lick the baby. Great.
Right. Yeah. They're like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to do this? That sounds fun. Maybe I should go give this a try. But kind of switching it as to kind of, you know, positive things. Like, you know, we always wash our hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make sure that we cover our mouths when we cough, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like what to do, not what not to do.
Exactly.
So maybe like, oh, tickle the baby's feet. They really like that.
Exactly.
If they're fixating on like poking their eyes, you redirect them to do something that's a little
safer. Like not like don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that's like, okay.
Then so it's in their head.
I'm supposed to, you know, yeah. have fun with. But, oh, you know, so-and-so really likes, like, their toes tickled, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's good. Do you think – I've heard mixed reviews. Do you think it was easier going 0 to 1 or 1 to 2? Or are they both just hard in their own right?
Oh, 0 to 1 was so much easier.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because once you – because it's – you know, people always use this football analogy, right, where it's 2 to 1.
Hmm.
Usually. Not always.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there is a partner involved, it's 2 to 1. So you can, you know, if you need to tap out, you tap out.
Yeah.
Whereas when you bring the second, it's kind of man-to-man defense.
Somebody's always got somebody.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, we used to be able to nap when the baby napped.
Sure.
When you add the second one in, and if their nap schedules aren't synced up depending on the age difference, or they're just not napping because mm-hmm. the age difference, you know, the naps for the oldest have gone away. That's it.
Brutal.
Party's over.
Yeah.
No more naps.
Noted. Okay. I'll keep track of that. I feel like we talked about it a little, but if we can expand more, like involving the older siblings in caring and bonding with the baby, but like still meeting their needs, do you think there's more to say there?
Yeah, I think there's a couple, like, different ways and to have them have buy-in. You know, you can say instead of my baby, our baby, sometimes buying baby dolls for them to practice on before baby gets here could be helpful. Maybe, and again, it's going to be very age-dependent, and there's a wide variety of resources out there to kind of look at what developmentally appropriate tasks are for the older sibling to kind of help with. But one of the things, you know, for some of the toddler age kiddos is maybe, you know, holding the towel, you know, for when baby gets out of the bath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, helping the caregiver kind of shut the door when baby's going down for a nap. Like just kind of like very small little things, putting on baby socks.
Yeah. Because they do. I mean, just in general, kids like to be involved in what we're doing. Like, mm-hmm. they don't look at cooking as a daunting task like we might. Like, my daughter will be like, can I help? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
She's not really helping, but, you know, she's getting to be involved, you know? So I guess it's kind of like that, like finding ways that...
Yeah, to integrate kind of what you're doing. One of the things I know when we kind of switched over to formula, they loved the scooper.
Okay. So, like, helping dump?
Yeah.
Would they do that, like, dump it into
yeah.
the bottle?
Yeah, that was something that was, like, really fun for them because yeah. it was tangible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they could scoop it, dump it in. They got to see it kind of mix with the water, and
yeah.
they were into that.
Definitely. Yeah, those are fun little things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kids find all the things we think are boring fun.
Oh, of course.
You know? Like, yeah. oh, I'm going to take all the laundry out of the washer and throw it in a basket. Like, that can be fun for them.
Yeah, even picking out, you know, snacks as the baby gets a little bit older with, like, the little kind of – we did a lot of fruit and veggie pouches because they were easy, grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but maybe, like, oh, which, you know, why don't you pick out which one for your brother? Which mm-hmm. one you think, like, they would like, you know, and then pick one out for yourself, the one you want. And so that kind of gives them, I think, a little bit – authority is not the right word, but just kind of feeling like they have a say in
yeah.
what's happening.
Definitely. And they, I mean, all little kids want to feel like they have some control, like, in what they're doing. And they probably felt really cool Yeah. Like, I picked my little brother's snack today.
Like I got to say what he got, which makes responsibility, I think, is the right word. It gave them kind of a sense of responsibility where they felt like, yes, I have a say in this. Like, my opinion matters and my voice matters. Yeah, and that you were
trusted, too, by your parents to make a decision for them. So how long can we expect, I guess, to be in transition of, like, bringing new baby home to finally feeling like we're in a groove again?
That is such a loaded question.
You don't have the answer for us. Come on.
Let me tell you, though. I feel like anytime we kind of established a new normal, something shifted. So that kind of first year, I would say, right? Because so in mental health, we look at adjustment as kind of a period of 2 to 4 weeks. So anytime my kids were, you know, on break from school and then had to go back, we knew that those first, you know, 2 weeks to a month was going to kind of be an adjustment. They might have had more difficulty, you know, separating. And then once they kind of got reestablished in a pattern, things were okay. And so it's harder to say exactly because there's so much growth and development and change that happens for the newborn that you might kind of always kind of be readjusting. And that's okay. It's just kind of keeping that in mind and giving everybody grace in the situation. Because it is a lot in that first year that changes, right? Like, there's going to be times where, you know, baby's sleeping a lot, and then there's might be times where baby's crying a lot, and then that kind of that part goes away. But now baby's maybe sitting up and babbling and a little bit more interactive. So that's an adjustment. You know, or baby starts crawling. That's a whole new adjustment, right? And so you might have kind of like these distinct periods where, okay, we're kind of over this hump. We've established a balance and a new normal. And then there might be another developmental shift that comes online. And so really, like I said, just kind of meeting them, meeting everybody, giving even, you know, the caregivers just grace in the situation.
Yeah, totally. And I think always just remembering, like, this is temporary. Like, if you're in a spot where, like, they're not sleeping or they're just, like, everything seems miserable and you're so tired, like, it's not going to be like this forever.
It won't be. And there's a reason that you kind of do it again, right? A lot of people will say that, like, oh, I just kind of forgot.
You totally forget because I definitely forgot. I'm like, I don't remember anything about, like, newborn life. But I think that's a mechanism to keep you procreating because you're like, it'll be great. Let's do it again.
There's got to be some type of biological aspect in your brain of what happens where I don't know if it's just because there's so much sleep deprivation and hormone shifts or a combination of everything. But there really, there's got to be something to that. Because like, why would you do this? Even my husband was like, we're good with one. And I was like, no, we're going to have, you know, he grew up with a bunch of step siblings and half siblings, and I grew up with a sibling, and so wanted to at least have one.
Yeah, it's so sibling. Nice.
Yeah, I felt like that was really important for, you know, for what I wanted in a family. So, but he, I don't know, maybe it was, and I think it because it was so much more me than him, and so maybe like because he didn't have all the hormone shifts and things like that, maybe it stuck with him a little bit more than it did.
Yeah.
With me.
He was traumatized.
Yeah.
I know. My husband says, he's like, I don't know if we could do this again, just like how sick I've been. I was like, I'd do it again. Right. And I'm still in it. I'm still sick.
Right. I don't know.
Your brain, you're just like, this is great.
But you're right. That like that speaks, I think, to the resiliency factor of it all and how there could be kind of this biological protective mechanism in place to kind of keep the world populated.
Yeah. And just how much you love them. Oh. Like, it's so ridiculous, you just can't understand. Like, I used to stare at my dog and just be like, oh God, I can't imagine loving something more than I love you. And then you have a baby and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
It's wild, isn't it?
You're sidelined. It's like, you're still so important, but like your love for your child is just, I don't know. It's, they're like a part of your body. Like, if they're in pain, you're in pain. You know, it's really unbelievable.
It's really crazy. I mean, it really is kind of the best feeling in the world. It's one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing I've ever done, but it really, the reward is there.
That's exactly right. It's like, it's going to be the hardest thing you ever do, but also the best thing you ever do. It's so hard to explain to people who are like, I don't know if I want to have kids. And I'm like, I don't want to advise.
No, like you could borrow mine.
Yeah. You know, test it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's such a, such an awesome experience and a journey. And it's just, it's crazy when you look back at pictures of like them super young. I sometimes feel like, did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But just got to enjoy the ride, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for being here. It was so great talking to you about this. I'm going to re-listen to this podcast myself, feel prepared before baby comes, but I really appreciate you sharing all your insight with us.
Absolutely. And I'm available to outside of the podcast as a mom of two.
Appreciate that.
I get it. So
fantastic.
Happy to help.
Thank you so much.
The material provided through this podcast is intended to be used as general information only and should not replace the advice of your physician. Always consult your physician for individual care.